Amen. Take your Bibles, please. Thank you, family. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs 17, and we'll try to mind the Lord this morning in the Word of God. Proverbs chapter number 17. And verse number 6 is where we'll begin our text of Scripture. Proverbs 17 and verse number 6. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Dear Heavenly Father, we need your help this morning. I pray, oh God, that you'd come upon us, Lord, and fill us with your Spirit. Touch every heart here that's listening, dear God. I pray you'd captivate them by your power. I pray you'd remove distractions. I pray you'd remove going in and coming out amongst the congregation. I pray you'd hush us for a little while. And I pray we'd meet with you this morning. I pray for every father that he'd feel encouraged. But Lord, I pray he'd feel challenged and helped. I pray he'd feel moved to obey the Lord this morning in whatever way. Lord, we need a touch from heaven among our men in this country and in this community and this church. And Lord, I pray that you'd use me as your humble vessel to be able to preach your word this morning. Lord, I pray if there be one here that's lost without God and your Son, Lord, I pray you'd save them, bring them under conviction. I pray they call upon you and be saved. In Christ's name we pray, and let the church say, amen. Dad, the leader of the band. Dad, the leader of the band. The Bible says that the glory of children are their fathers. We'll come back to that in a moment. Turn with me to Proverbs and hold your hand there to Proverbs chapter number 1 and verse number 20. Proverbs 1 and verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scornings, and fools hate knowledge. Turn ye at my reproof. There's three people there in that text of Scripture. A simple person, a scorner, a fool, and then also in the Proverbs you find a wise man. I believe there's four people that you'll run across with, child or adult, that'll either be a simple one, a scorner, a fool, or a wise man. A simple man is somebody that is just absolutely open and naive. They'll just believe anything. They're just open. They're just naive. There's really nothing wrong with being simple, but you must turn that into wisdom. You take from a wise man and you learn of a wise man when you're simple and you're open and you're naive, and you soak it all in like a sponge. There's a simple man. And then number two, there's a scorner. A scorner's old smart aleck. Old smart aleck thinks he knows more than his papa. Thinks he knows more than his daddy. He's a cynic. He's a know-it-all. Yeah, he's a punk. He's full of himself. You can't tell him anything and he's 11. Amen. That's a scorner. You got a simple one, a scorner. And a fool is somebody that's been a scorner long enough that he's a rebel. He's arrogant. He's wise to do evil. He'll not only laugh at you, he'll slap you after a while. He's just an old fool. He said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And then there's the wise man. The wise man that has heard the preacher. The wise man has heard the words of wisdom from the Word of God. And he's bowed his heart in faith and repentance, and repented of his sins, trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and he's born again because he's heard the words of wisdom from his heavenly Father. I want to ask you, have you become wise? You're a fool if you're not born again. You're a fool if you're not saved. Fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You've denied God. Jesus Christ is God, born in the flesh, came into this world, lived a sinless life, and gave his life on the cross of Calvary so you could be saved. And if you don't believe Jesus, I'm sorry, but I'm really not. You're a fool. And you cannot be a father that you ought to be. I don't care how many hours you work, how hard you work and how much you sacrifice. You can't be a great father without being a wise one. And the way you become a wise one is you bow in faith and repentance at the shed blood of Calvary's cross and you become born again. I want to ask you, if you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Happy Father's Day. Amen. Because it'd be the best day you ever had if you're a daddy in here faking it and you never have been saved. Stop playing religion and get born again. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Every man better have two births or he's going to hell. You better have a spiritual, better have a physical birth. You got one of those because I'm looking at you. But have you had a spiritual birth? Have you been born again? Have you become a new creature in Christ Jesus? Has old things passed away? And behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Have you become wise in Jesus Christ? Is the Holy Spirit living inside of you? I tell you what, there are four types of people in this room this morning. There's four types of father: simple, scorner, fool, and wise. Our children need wise fathers. 65% of children get some sort of sidetrack of help, some sort of mental help. 65% of them go to some little mental ward where they help them and tell them, you need this medicine or that medicine. I think a lot of the problems is because they don't have a father they can glory in. And some of them can't help it. It's not the child's fault. I said Father's Day is different to some folks. And I mean it. But God can always make up the difference for anything. I said God can always make up the difference for anything. Don't blame your upbringing. Trust Jesus. He'll make up the difference, I promise you. Who didn't have the best upbringing growing up, raise your hand. Look at those hands in there. But God made the difference, didn't he, Brother Steve? He made the difference. I didn't have that. I'll rise right now and call my daddy the greatest Christian I've ever known to ever live and walk this earth. I'm telling you, I don't know a better Christian, and I'm blessed to be able to say that. But I'm not going to, if I didn't have it, I couldn't use it as an excuse not to live for God, because Jesus Christ, he'll make up the difference, won't he? He'll make up the difference. 65% of children getting some help that way. Over 1 million girls get pregnant between the ages of 12 and 16. 1 million girls getting pregnant between 12 and 16. 1.5 out of 5 children use drugs twice a week. 10 to 15% of children are trying suicide before they're 16 years old. And before children turn 21 years old, 3 out of 10 of them before the ages of 21 years old will decide not to follow, as they would consider it, their Christian faith. And they'll be out of church before they're 21, 3 out of 10. And the number doubles before the age 25. Now I want to ask you a question. What's going to be the difference? What's going to be the difference? What's going to be the difference with you, Daddy? What's going to be the difference with you, Mama, and your children? What's going to be the difference with your grandchildren? Now you say, Brother Justin, you have no right really talking about this because yours ain't grown yet. I know that, but I'm still God's preacher. And let me tell you something. Miss Cumbus told me yesterday. There you are, Miss Cumbus. Miss Cumbus said, boy, Jackson, he sure is growing up to be a good young man. He's so mature, and he's mature, and he's getting more mature. And I thought to myself, I want to say thank you. Oh, I want to just kind of soak it all in. Oh, thank you. And thank you for the kind word. But her and I both know, that ain't nothing. He's 12 years old. He ain't got no wet behind his ears yet. I'll check him when he's 25 and see if he's living for God. When they're down here and we say they're cute and we love them and oh, they can sing and oh, they can pull a tie up to their neck and look spiffy for church, that ain't nothing, is it? What I'm doing now, we'll go check it when they're 10 years down the road, when they're 25, 35, and they're teaching children like I've got to teach them now. Amen? Don't matter. Those statistics don't matter if they can obey me. If they can't obey me now and I can't whip them into shape now, excuse me, God help. Because when they leave the house, what are they going to do? If I can't get them to do certain things while they're under my direct supervision, what do you think they're going to do when they get old underneath? out from the supervision. Sure. What's going to be the difference? Well, we'll try to help you with that this morning from the Word of God. And we want to start with the glory of children being fathers. The Bible says in Proverbs 17, and look at it one more time. The Bible says, children are the children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. That verse tells me that children, by God, children glory in their fathers. Now, you know that's the gospel. You know that's the truth without even being written in the Bible. A child loves to do what daddy does. If daddy's got a big truck and he's got it jacked up, he wants one when he's 16 that way too. If daddy likes to go fishing, Jimmy wants to go with him. If daddy likes to shoot ball or shoot skeet, that's exactly what little Timmy's going to want to do, shoot ball or shoot skeet. Because little boys and little girls love to look up to daddy. Daddy's everything. Daddy's everything. Daddy's he's the glory of the home. He's the glory of the child. Oh, I want to be like daddy when I grow up. What daddy listens to, I want to listen to. What daddy watches is what I want to watch. What daddy eats is what I want to eat. What daddy does is what I want to do. What daddy loves is what I want to love. Oh, listen here real good. That's the power of influence that a father has. You're the glory of the children. We're living in a world where children have no glory in their fathers. Fathers are absent. Fathers are gone. The Bible says that children find glory in their fathers. So as a father, our question is, fathers, as I humbly say this, we've got to make sure our glory's in the right spot, because what our glory is what our children's glory will be. What we glory in is what they're going to glory in. Where our heart's desire is where their heart's desire will be. If they love you like they ought to love you and desire to be like you, they're going to love what you love. If you love one thing, they'll love the other. If it's right, if something's wrong, if that's not there. But I'm going to assume that link's still connected up. And if that's going to... So if you love mama, they're going to love mama. If you think mama's everything, they're going to think mama's everything. Oh, no, you better not let you say something sideways to mama. Daddy love mama pretty good. Daddy will get you if you say something sideways to mama. Can I get a witness? See what I'm talking about? Oh, no, we don't got a shot at that, because there's a love for the church and a love for God and a love for this Bible right here. Oh, yeah, daddy loves church. Daddy loves the Word of God. Daddy loves his pastor. Daddy loves, see what I'm talking about? And they're going to love the same things. Now, they might get a little rebellious streak in them, but when they're simple and they're innocent, and by the way, you keep them that way just as long as you can. You keep them simple. You keep them sheltered just as long as you can. Don't let them taste the world. You keep them away from it just as long as you can. Being sheltered ain't hurting nobody, but getting out in the world sure killing them. Taylor Swift sure is killing them. Come on now. All that music sure is killing them. Getting into their mind and warping it. All that junk from all them lyrics, all that, it's warping them. All those TV shows they can get their mind on, and all that entertainment that comes from YouTube, it'll warp them. It'll twist them. It'll pervert them. Keep them simple just as long as you can. Some old man of God better say amen with me. Come on now. You keep them sheltered just as long as you can. Children will respect that. Every child loves boundaries. What? No, a child loves boundaries because when there's boundaries in their life, he knows he's being loved. If a child don't got no boundaries, he's going to think, do they even love me? They don't even care if I'm in or out or whatever. Yeah. Safety. The glory of children is their fathers. Fathers, we need to show this glory. We show this glory in leadership. In leadership. Three things: leadership, love, and loyalty. Leadership. You show your children a glory in leading. Now, I'm going to run your mind to Joshua 24. When Joshua stands up in front of his people and he says, "Ask for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose you this day, but for me and my house, we're serving the Lord." Every daddy look right up here, and mamas, you can pray. Okay, just kidding. Miss Joshua didn't stand up and say, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't know what daddy's going to do, but me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I hope y'all come along with us." Miss Joshua didn't stand up, but Dr. Joshua stood up and said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We've got too many Miss Joshuas doing what Dr. Joshua should do at the house. We got stronger spines in women than we do in men. We've got more ladies faithful to church than we do men. We've got more women saying amen than we got men saying amen. We've got more ladies lifting their hands towards heaven in the service than we do the men. Seems like the men are sheepish when they should be loud and bold as a lion. We need men in this day and hour to stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. We need men filled with the Holy Ghost and boldness to lead. And when little girl sees it and little boy sees it, they say, "Oh, I glory in my daddy. He's got strong strength in his love for the Lord Jesus." When mama has to do all the talking, something's wrong. When the lady has to do all the coming to church and serving around the church, something's wrong. You're busy, too busy somewhere if you're too busy for God. Fathers, awake. Fathers, arise and let your children have something to glory in. It wasn't Miss Joshua who stood up. I see it. I've been in church all too long. I've been in church too long. Mama will praise the Lord, but daddy won't be found. Any testimonies? "Yeah, I'd like to say this. And daddy hadn't said something in 20 Sundays." I'd be ashamed of myself if my wife out-testified me. I'd be ashamed of myself. "Well, you're a preacher. Ain't no difference. We both wash in the blood. We got about something to say. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Yeah. Man of God, be a man of God and say, "This is what we're going to do. As for me and my house, it's going to cost us something to serve God, and we're going to be there, and we're going to raise our children, open that King James Bible at night, read it to them, take that Bible and pray after you read it. You don't have to have a sermon. Spend 10 or 15 minutes every night. You spend that much doing everything else. Take that Bible out, read it to them, pray with them, and let them see your glory is Jesus Christ." That's the leadership you got to have. Let them glory in your leadership. Let them glory in your love, daddy. Love is firm and committed and tenacious. Love takes hold and will not let go in times of your marriage and in times of your family. It's going to get rough. But the daddy's got to say, "I'm not going to be weak in my love. I'm going to be strong in my love. And till death do us part, I'm holding on to my bride. I'm holding on to my precious children. We're not letting them get out of the ship. We're keeping them all close. That's my darling bride, and those are my babies. And I'm going to love them. Do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes. If I've got to go drive around and sell Domino's, I'll put food on the table. It doesn't matter if I'm preaching or not preaching, if I'm here in Alaska. If I got to drive pizza around, I'm going to put food on my family's table." That's love. Do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. But sometimes that love is not only tender, sometimes that love is not only tenacious, but it's tender. Daddy, there ain't nothing wrong with being sweet. There ain't nothing wrong with kissing that little girl. There ain't nothing wrong with rubbing up next to her and demanding that she hugs you and loves you and lays on you. There ain't nothing wrong with getting inside that bed and laying down with them. Are you listening to me? Don't be too big not to let them little ones know that they are greatly loved by their big daddy. You understand what I'm talking about? I've always tried to do that. I've always tried to wrestle with them. Except now, Miss Lynn, I can't wrestle with them, no. I got them too, they've grown up too big, they beat me up. Jackson taller than me, and you know, they'll beat me up. But I liked, the other day I was wrestling, wasn't I? I was wrestling with Carter and Savannah. I didn't think Savannah was going to ever stop telling me to stop wrestling the whole morning. Come on, let's wrestle some more. Kids love that touch. They love that affection. Daddies, you can give that. That's just not for mama. Give that love. And they can glory in your love for them. You know what else they can glory in, daddies? Not only your leadership and your love, but they can glory in your loyalty. Your loyalty. Fathers, if we cut corners now with our children, it'll show up down the road when they get out of the home. If you cut corners now and raising them and disciplining them and making a mind, it'll show up down yonder. Amen. If you cut corners now, it'll show up later in anything. But if you cut corners now with parenting, it'll show up later down the road in your loyalty. Your loyalty to your wife. And your loyalty to our church, loyal to Jesus, that child ought to say, they ought to have an opportunity to say these. Every child ought to have an opportunity to say these words. My daddy loves mama. There's no doubt about it. He's crazy about mama. He's googly-eyed about mama. He'll be all right. See, there's just no doubt about it. He don't love no other woman but mama. I tell you, when mama comes calling, he's going to come around for her. If any opportunity, I want all my children to know, if daddy can and ever gets a whim of it, he's going to spoil April. You listening to me? I want them to know how much this guy loves April. I want them to think there's nobody else because there is nobody else but her. I want them to grow up because you're raising your sons and daughters how to be husbands and wives one day. Your loyalty. You know what else? Your loyalty to Jesus. The one above all else. The one that went to that cross, shed his blood for our redemption. That one that's coming back very soon to get you and I. I believe he's coming quickly. He said, "Behold, I come quickly." Oh, my friend, he's the one we're ultimately loyal to. Loyal to Jesus. Every child should have an opportunity to say, listen, daddies, every child should have the opportunity to say, my daddy, my father is loyal and loves Jesus with all of his heart. There's no doubt about it. I've seen him with a Bible all by himself. I've seen him on his knees praying. I see him go to church when it's not easy to go to church. I've seen him tell mama, nope, we're going to church, mama. I don't care how. Yeah, I know it's not easy, but we're going tonight. We're coming back. Even though, hey, I've seen when the budget's not there and the money's not there, we're still going to drop that tithe in. I've seen when it's not there and we didn't know how ends were going to meet, we just kept putting gas in the car to go to church. Why? Because we're loyal to the head of the church, Jesus Christ. Don't you tell me, any different. A child grows up in that environment, it shall not depart from them. Boy, I saw my mama and my daddy. I saw my dad work tirelessly, preach tirelessly, visit the sick, visit the sinner over and over and over again. We never went to any ball games in St. Louis like other kids did. I never went to Six Flags. I never got any of those things, but that's not a sad report, brother. I'm in the perfect will of God because I saw my daddy's loyalty to Jesus Christ. I didn't miss a thing. I haven't missed anything. I don't have a sad report. Jesus is faithful. And all of the children are serving God. They're all in church this morning. And he's got grandchildren now that are serving the Lord faithfully. I'm telling you what, we haven't missed a thing. I didn't miss Six Flags. I don't know anybody that would go and say they missed anything. Not too big of a deal to me. I never went to a ball game with my dad growing up. I might have went a few with friends. I didn't miss anything, but he taught me one thing. You be loyal to Jesus Christ, the one that bled on the cross for you. You, no matter what, you be loyal to him. He taught me that, and that shall not depart from me. And if I run away from God,
If I go away from God, it still won't depart from me, Brother Michael. It'll still be right here, and I'll be kicking against the pricks the whole time I'm leaving. I'll be kicking. Yeah, you say, what do you mean it won't depart from you? It'll always be right here. That the Jesus Christ deserves the preeminent. And my daddy didn't preach that to me. My daddy lived that to me. Oh, he preached a lot of sermons. But I tell you, I can preach all those sermons to those kids right there, Miss Deanna, and they're going to hear a lot. God bless them. And they can write all the notes that they want to write in their little journals. But the lesson that they learn more than anything is mama and daddy are loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what. Fathers, can your children and your grandchildren glory in you as a Christian? Well, my daddy loves Jesus. My grandpapa. Well, man, you know, so many different names we've got for grandmas and grandpas. Isn't it ridiculous? We could have a little fun spurt right here. But whatever you're called, my grandpa, my grandma, I glory in their love for the Lord Jesus. I glory in the leadership of my dad, the love my dad has for the Lord, and the loyalty my dad has for the Lord. I'm going to end with one more thing. I'm breaking up this message. I'm breaking all the rules. You mean you're actually not going to finish what you started to preach? Don't look at your clock. I'm good at noticing what everybody does. Don't look at your clock. It'll be all right. Hey, man, just keep writing them notes, okay? I'm going to shorten it up for you. I want you to go to Psalm 127. I charge you. Now I'm going to encourage you. I want you to see this wonderful passage of Scripture. I preached on the glory of the Father, and I was going to preach on the guide of the Father. The guide of the Father, as you turn to Psalm 127, I was going to preach on the guide of the Father. He expounds the truth, he exposes sin, he expels the scorner, and he expresses love. If you're going to guide your family right, you've got to expound the truth to them. You've got to expose the sin. And you've got to expel them scorners that get in your house. Don't let them come near your children. And then you've got to express love to every one of your children. That's all in Proverbs. You can preach that Monday night, Brother Lord. The gain of the Father. The gain of the Father. Not only the guide of the Father, the gain of the Father. Psalm 127. What do you get from being a good father? A father that fears God. Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Whoa, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And then in 28, it says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Verse 4, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Number one, the gain of a father that fears the Lord. What's going to come to you if you fear the Lord? That's what he says there. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. What is the gain to you as a father if you'll fear the Lord? Number one, you're going to have heavenly happiness. Blessed. You're going to have blessings that nobody else knows about. The Bible says in verse 5 of 127, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Blessed, verse 1 of 28, is everyone that feareth the Lord. Happy shalt thou be, verse 2. Blessed is he that feareth the Lord, verse 4. The gain of a father that fears the Lord is heavenly happiness. By the way, you get to enjoy that all for yourself. There are some fathers that aren't happy simply because of this. Because they don't fear God. You're trying to make yourself happy. You're trying to make yourself joyful. You're trying to take all the devil's pills to make you happy. You're trying to take all the devil's amusements and to make yourself happy. God made it where you will not be happy until you're born again and surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. You'll be happy when you put God in his rightful place. Sure, everything will start making sense when you start fearing God. heavenly happiness. You know what else you get as a father that feareth the Lord? Bountiful blessings. Look at Psalm 128, verse 4. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Oh my, not only a man that fears God gets heavenly happiness, but he gets bountiful blessings. Let me tell you, one day, lift up your eyes, one day, if you fear God, you're going to be able to see your children's children fear God. That means your grandyoungins. You're going to see your grandchildren fear God. Not only your children, but now your grandchildren fear God, and you're going to see good in Jerusalem or good in your township all the days of your life because you feared God. And then last of all, you're going to have a lasting legacy. Children's children. The gain of the Father is heavenly happiness, bountiful blessings, and a lasting legacy. And that's what we're doing today. Fathers, we're putting in motion a lasting legacy. What we instill into our children today, God help us, is not for today. It's for 3 years from now, 10 years from now, and really 20, 30, 50 years from now if the Lord don't return. The things instilled in the life of a child will never depart from them, evil or good. And we're putting together a lasting legacy. The Bible says in verse 4 of 128 Psalm, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. His wife shall be as a fruitful vine, verse 3, by the sides of thine house, and thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Oh my. Sounds like they're all around you. Fathers, let me ask you a few questions. Message been preached. Let me ask us a few questions. If you died today, anybody in here, do you know you'd go to heaven? Is heaven your home? I'll tell you something. You're in a perfect place to say, I'm done with it. I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of playing. I'm going to come to Jesus in faith and repentance and be saved. I'm telling you, Jesus loves you with an everlasting love, and he's promised you this opportunity and not another one. You've come face to face with the word of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ today, and you have faced God when you face this word, and there's no promise that you'd ever have another good opportunity where God pricked that heart a little bit and you come to faith and repentance. I wouldn't turn it down if I were you. No, I wouldn't. Today is the day of salvation. Saints, I'd be praying. I believe somebody in here is not saved. You might trifle at it, but I don't trifle at this right here. When this gets held up right here, it's serious business. You can be saved. The grace of God can save you. Repent and turn to Jesus. And fathers that are saved, say, I know I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven by the grace of God. Right, men? But I want to be a good father, and I want to be a good grandfather. And I want to leave a lasting legacy that I fear God in all things and he's number one. I want my children and my grandchildren to have somebody to glory in. Somebody to glory. That's my papa. He loves Jesus. That's my daddy. He loves mama, but he loves Jesus just a touch more. Amen? I love him. I'm proud of him. You know how many children are not? It can all change at Jesus. It can all change with this right here. Let him take control of your life. And he can make you the daddy that you ought to be, the father you ought to be. Say, I want to leave. I got that in my heart. I want to leave a lasting legacy for my children and my grandchildren. I want my sons and my daughters to glory in my love and loyalty to the Lamb of God. I'm grateful. By the grace of God, Brother William, I don't got the story you've got. I've got a daddy that's one of the best. You know why I've got the daddy that I've got? The grace of God. the grace of God. And I give God the glory that it's that way. But that's no excuse for any of us to be indifferent. Let's do our best and leave, oh, a lasting legacy of fearing God to our children and children's children. Let's everybody stand together.